last few weeks, we've been speaking on Christian doctrine, the what and the why behind why we believe. And Paul, in this letter to the Hebrews, had said that we need to know our Christian doctrine if we are to live our lives in obedience to the Christian faith. If there's a set of rules that need to be followed, you probably won't follow them all if you don't know what they are. And so Paul is saying that we need to understand our Christian faith if we are to live it. This morning, I believe that Paul's letter speaks for God directly to the UK as a nation, not just to the Hebrews. Indeed, it speaks of much to what has historically been known as Christendom, those nations and former empires of those nations that have been built on Christian foundations. However, we live in the UK. I know more about the UK than I do about some of those other nations. So it's best that we just stick to the UK today to listen to what God is saying to us. Well, for centuries, these islands have promoted Christian values. And for the most part, this has been quite a positive thing for the country and the people who live in this country. It's led to care being granted for those who are vulnerable and in need. We look after those that need to be cared for. It's been a place where people have been able to be free, to be themselves, to express their own beliefs. It's been somewhere where people have been able to receive a good education. It's been somewhere where there is opportunity for all. That's promoted as a priority in this nation. It's been somewhere where you can find support for families, where orphans are taken care of, where the elderly have a place to live out their lives when they need a bit more help. All this has been built on the Christian foundations of knowing what and why we believe and putting that into practice as a country. And the UK is an attractive place to come and live, I think. We can see that from the amount of people who choose to come and live here. Generally speaking, if you live here, you won't be persecuted for the colour of your skin, for the language you speak, or the beliefs you hold, or if anybody does do that to you, they're the ones that get in trouble for it. We are equal in the eyes of God in this country because of the Christian foundations we have been built on. And this has been expanded increasingly to ensure that women are treated completely as equal to men. Rightly so. There are questions about why women do the same job as men and don't receive the same pay always. It's right that we should challenge that and make things fair. A living wage has been introduced to ensure that all working people have a standard of living that is acceptable. That's part of looking after people, looking after those who have less. And the law has protected people groups who have been persecuted in the past or now. Even when their beliefs do not reflect these Christian moral values that we have built our country upon. Whether you're Muslim or Jew, Protestant or Catholic, atheist or agnostic, people have lived alongside each other. The law now protects people who may have in the past have been persecuted over their choice whether to get married or not, and over one's sexual orientation. The law protects those people to make sure that they are not persecuted, even when they don't live according to the ways that we built our country upon as being moral foundations. But we must remember why this country is a good country to live in. We must remember that our country is founded on these Christian values. That this is what has made it a good place to live. Whether you abide by those Christian values or whether they're different to what you believe in. It has become a good place to live because of them. And these values are what have brought this way of life to these islands. God's moral objectives and the law of grace have dictated that we know what is right and wrong. They dictate that we don't persecute people for their lifestyle choice, but that we offer an alternative and we say, we think this way might be better for you. This is what we base the way we live upon. Why don't you try doing it? The key is remembering in amongst all this to forgive people for the things they do, the way they choose to live, and remembering that Jesus teaches us to love one another, but also remembering that there is such a thing as right and wrong. It's holding those two things in tension. Grace and forgiveness, and that there are things that are morally right and wrong according to God and according to what we've tried to build our country around. And this is what Paul is saying to the Hebrews in this passage, I believe. He's saying, you're doing some good things here. Your community service, it's been top notch. You've tried to help other countries, other groups, other churches. But don't forget why you're doing it. Don't just think that it's an activity for you to do. Make sure you know what you believe and why you believe. So what you do is according to Scripture and according to the teaching that you've received and not something else. And this is why Paul, through the opening five chapters, has gone through what the church believes. He must be thinking that the Hebrews, some of them, are being forgetful about the foundations that they've built their church upon. He's saying, you're doing some good stuff, but don't forget why you're doing it. Don't have a false image of who Christ is. Don't create false doctrines, additional doctrines. Don't do away with some of the things that are the foundation stone of why you do good things. And I think this is the message that we must hear in the UK today. We need to hear this for ourselves. It's all very well that we say to Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, atheists, and agnostics, you can live here and do as you please, and you won't be persecuted for it. It's right that there should be that freedom. But is it really loving to allow these groups to worship a God that isn't real? Or to follow a life in which they believe there's no God, and that can lead to a path where there's huge damage in their life and for their future? Is that the loving thing to do? Is it the loving thing to not be able to challenge some of those groups in dialogue, to talk with them and say, this is a good way to live. This is why we do what we do here. This is the God who influences the way we live, and this is what he says. Is it wrong and unloving to challenge people with these things? Or is it more loving to say, you won't be persecuted for how you choose to live, but know this, how you choose to live is not the path that leads to an eternity that is good. I think that is the message we should be saying to people. Do what you want to do, but hear what we're saying. We won't persecute you for what you do, but you should know that that's going to cause damage, and you should know the Christian truth. There are groups in this country who make it impossible, almost, to be able to say these things. You know, there are gay people who live in this country knowing that they will not be persecuted, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing. But it's not loving if we don't let them know that their sexuality does not define who they are. That they don't have to go out on parade saying, I am gay. Who are you? What else do you stand for? What else makes you who you are? Does your sexuality define you? Is it wrong for us to say to them that they mean more to God than what sexual orientation they are? And is it right that we don't share with people that the Bible clearly states that if you practice a homosexual lifestyle and don't repent of it, that that is a path that leads you away from God? Is it wrong, really, to say that? Or even to allow the message to be disseminated amongst children in schools? Is it wrong that people don't want their children to learn that choosing a homosexual relationship is a choice that they can feel free to make over and above living a life that values family, that values the traditional values that are in the scripture, that God says is pleasing, that Jesus commands us to do, to leave our mother and father and go and marry? Is it wrong that we want to espouse and speak about those things? Because it feels like there isn't that freedom to do so anymore. And these things are the foundation on what made this country a good place for people to come and live, that there was freedom to express that. Paul speaks of the things that we can do that can lead us on a bad path. Those things that are doctrines, almost, of worldly values. He wrote, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." You see, if we abandon our Christian foundations, or if we are forgetful about our Christian foundations, about what we believe, about why we believe, if we are forgetful about God's moral objectives, then we mislead people. And we send people down a terrible path. By saying we accept what you do and don't say it's wrong, it leads people to destruction. But if we say to people, "You're free to live like that, but have you heard this truth?" What can be wrong with that? But we're in a very real situation, a time of change where soon it's not going to be even possible to say that without it being seen as being discrimination. And it's not. Soon, we'll be saying that all things are relative, that there isn't a right and wrong in anything. We'll be saying, "Sleep with whoever you want, worship what you feel like, drink as much as you desire, take as you please." It becomes acceptable to lie and cheat, even if it's done subversively. And I don't want to live somewhere like that. I don't want my children to grow up somewhere like that. But some of this is coming to pass in the UK already. And more worryingly than living somewhere like that is the biblical truth that that leads to destruction. And Paul says it leads to being accursed by God. If our nation continues to go along this road, it won't be a place where people want to come and live. People don't need to worry about immigration, because the path that this country is going on, people will be leaving this country to go and live elsewhere, where you're free to preach the Bible, where truth stands according to Scripture. Do you recall in the Scripture what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? The judgment that was brought upon these people by their own actions. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 16, "Now this was the sin of Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They had apathy for their faith. They did not help the poor and the needy as a result. They did detestable things before me, God says. And the Hebrew word detestable refers to something that is morally disgusting. These people had allowed everything to creep in that was not acceptable to God. They'd stopped looking after the poor and the needy. They'd started saying that it's okay to do other things so long as you enjoy it. Who are you harming? And similarly, Jude 7 declares, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. Sodom and Gomorrah were guilty of many other horrendous sins. And God poured fiery sulfur on the cities, completely destroying them and all their inhabitants. To this day, the area where Sodom and Gomorrah were located remains a desolate wasteland. Countries, cities, places where people live, when they don't live according to God's law, they become like wastelands. God may not pour sulfur on the UK, but it will begin to feel like a wasteland that we don't want to live in. And if we don't speak up, if we don't have our voice heard as Christians in this society, then we'll have our voice and our right to speak taken from us. We have God's law. We have examples of God's judgment and punishment for immorality. We have Paul's warnings now not to allow immorality into Christian communities. It's all in our Bible. We can't say that we haven't been warned. And Paul warns the Hebrews against being lazy in the study of Christian doctrine. And remember, laziness and apathy is something that we said happens if you're starving. And you can starve physically, not having enough food. But if you starve from this food, it has the same results. It brings about apathy, brings about suffering. And in the end, it brings about death. And Paul is saying that it's not enough to do the things that appear to make you seem like a Christian. Tithing, helping others, acts of kindness. If you don't understand the faith behind the way you're living. Remember, works won't save you, but faith in Jesus will. God's way will. Last week, we spoke about becoming spiritually now malnourished. And that's what will happen if we don't study our Christian doctrine. And one thing really is that it can lead to and that we're seeing in this country now is that word that I've already mentioned, apathy, meaning lack of interest, enthusiasm or concern. Now, Christians in this country, we have become apathetic. Either we don't have interest and we shut away our faith on Sunday in the car as we go home and get it back out of the boot next Sunday. Or we don't have the enthusiasm. There's other things that distract us, that captivate us. Remember Adam in the garden and Eve. They looked. They were captivated by something and they lost what they had. Christians all over the country are doing the same thing. There's no enthusiasm for the gospel anymore. And concern. Are there enough Christians who are looking out into our country at the moment, looking at what our politicians are doing and saying? Seeing that politicians are saying, you can't speak about Islam anymore, otherwise that's Islamophobia. You can't speak about same-sex marriage anymore. Otherwise, that's homophobia. Have we really come to a point where Christians cannot show their concern about what is going on in this country? And what's happening in the UK? People have become apathetic to the Christian message. They take the foundations of the faith for granted. Some don't care about the Christian message. It's not important to them. Others don't know it. They don't know the Christian foundations upon which this country has been built. They've just taken for granted what has happened. And still others don't want to know because it challenges their worldview. It challenges the way that you live. I don't know if you've ever handed in a piece of work and there's been red marks all over it when you get back. Oh, it gets you, doesn't it? All that work I put into that essay, that article, and this person thinks that it's bad. We must remember as Christians that this is how people receive the gospel sometimes. It's so convicting to their ways that when they hear it, it shocks them. And that they might lash out in anger, first of all. But it doesn't mean that the correction isn't needed. Just like you wouldn't have wanted to hand in your draft essay in its current state with all those corrections that need making. People need correcting in their lives if they're to enter eternity. And they will be thanking you for that when they're not led to destruction. Paul says to the Hebrews, there are people who are inheriting the promises through faith and patience. You should copy them. He's saying to the Hebrews, there are people who are still sticking to my word. Some of you are not. Look to those who are doing it well. There are countries, places, nations in this world who are doing a better job than we're doing in the UK right now, where there's freedom to have these views, to express them, to appeal to people and say, no, not your way, but God's way. I don't think Paul thinks the Hebrews are doing very well when it comes to maturing in faith. That's why he's gone on for 5 chapters telling them, reminding them what they believe. And now he's saying to them, maybe you should copy some of the people who are doing it well. I think if Paul was here in the UK right now, I think if he was sat face to face meeting with the Archbishop of Canterbury, I think if he was meeting with some of the religious leaders in this country, some of the Christian religious leaders, he would be saying exactly the same thing. And I look at our nation, and I don't think we're doing very well for standing up for the Christian values, the Christian doctrine. Our laws are beginning to betray what once were our Christian foundations. No reason divorces? Our very MP is putting forward this, is championing this cause. An attack against family life, an attack against marriage. And when we go to the ballot box next time, are we going to vote for him? Or are we going to stand up and are we going to vote for somebody who is not attacking the values of this Christian nation anymore? I get really emotional about it. It's no good just saying, this is who I always vote for. Why? What are they doing to protect the Christian values? What are they doing to protect the Christian nation? What are they doing to protect family life? Marriage is no longer defined as being between a man and a woman in this country. By who? By who? Those we put into power. It's time for us to say what Christian marriage is and to say that that is something different. There are MPs who are pushing for the legalisation of assisted dying. People who reach towards the end of their lives, who feel they're a burden on somebody, saying, okay, I don't want to be a burden anymore. That's what could happen. Sodom and Gomorrah were accused of not caring for the poor and needy. So a country who puts to death people who are poor and needy What will God's judgment be on that country? Will it not become a wasteland? And there are those who want abortions to be allowed at a time when a baby could survive outside the womb. I don't think abortion should be legal, full stop. There were 5,000 people marching in London yesterday, pro-life. Where was that reported in the news? You don't hear it. There is a Christian voice. 5,000 people is not enough, but it's many people. We need to start championing these causes. There are headlines, and there are a lot more subtle changes being made. These are some of the headlines. The foundations of our country are being worn away. Where is the voice of the concerned Christian in all this? We seem to practice a turning of the cheek, and that seems scriptural. But this is not scriptural, not when it concerns God's ways. Turning the cheek and letting immoral living be promoted within the country is not what God is asking us to do. We need to stop this flagrant erosion of Christian values in this country. Often it's scary to speak out. We are labelled as old-fashioned, out of touch, even as a bigot. But a Christian who speaks out lovingly, with grace and forgiveness on these issues, is no bigot. The person who wants to stop us speaking out on these things, they're the ones who are bigoted. The truth is, there are those out there who wish to silence the Christian perspective, to usher through without opposition changes that are contrary to all that God sees as good. There are those who are intolerant of the Christian moral objectives, who are forgetful or ignorant to why the UK has been a place that people move to. Friends, we must find our voice. You may think it's not the time for you to do it, but if you want this to be a place for your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and their generations afterwards to live in, that's not a wasteland, that is blessed by God, it's important that you start speaking out about some of these things now. My generation, generations after me, some don't know better. They haven't heard the gospel. You all have. Speak out. Use the power you've got to make what is good, to make what is honourable, to make what is right. Take courage and do that. In our Bible study earlier this week, we looked at Stephen, and he went through the whole of Scripture, an amazing sermon in front of people who were wanting to persecute him. And he went through everything that happened to all these people, and there were people who didn't receive the blessings that perhaps you thought they would see, like Moses, never made it into the promised land after all he did in service of God. And then at the end of the speech, Stephen himself is stoned to death. And it seems so unfair. But the thread throughout all of this, throughout all that Stephen said, and through what happened to Stephen, and through Paul being in the audience, and then Paul going on to have the ministry that Stephen would have had, telling people about God amongst the nations, building people up, building us up by his word that we read in Hebrews today, it tells us that God will provide people, that eventually God will have his way. There may be times when things seem very desperate. There may be times when things seem like they're approaching a wasteland scenario. But God will have his way. And there will be goodness all over the earth. God's plan is bigger than what is going on here in the UK. But he wants you to play your small part. Just as everyone did throughout Scripture. Just as Stephen did, just as Paul did. He wants you to play your small part. Take up the challenge. Amen. Well, as we take up the challenge, we can do so, being encouraged and standing united with one another. And so we sing together now to remind us of this. Number 471 in Baptist Praise and Worship, Bind Us Together, Lord. Number 471. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together.